We are back. I am Luke Healy, co-founder of ICN.
And I'm David Pinkston. I am the program director of Seeking the Spirit Within and a co-board member of ICN.
And our podcast producer and creator and co-host, David, it's good to be back together. Yes. It's been a little while. We've been on a bit of a break. You've been going through a huge transition, and we're here now ready to start season three of our podcast. And so for season three, we are going to be focusing on community. Last season, we had some wonderful conversations with various folks, and we had our Everyday Mystics series of podcasts, which if you haven't listened to those, wonderful conversations with people talking about how they integrate mysticism into their daily lives. Wonderful stories, amazing people. There's lots more people we could interview with. I think we actually have one more we're going to release as sort of a bonus episode. And then also we're going to be having more conversations with people specifically looking at stories of collective transformation and how we've gone through this process of longing and finding and then discovering transformation, especially in the context of community and communal spiritual practice. So that's one of the streams that we're going to be doing for this season three. Another one of the types of episodes that we're going to engage with will be around this series that I've just completed on practicing community. This was a 20-part series. There are 20 articles over the course of the last year. So if you've been reading along, maybe you're fully saturated, but we're going to tease out some of these ideas and really look at community and some of the themes of that, because community is a central and core practice of who we are at ICN. And I think as well about the future of spirituality. And then we'll also have some other podcast episodes interwoven in conversations with Paul and maybe some other interviews with various folks that may fit the theme or maybe not. We're mystics. We like to think outside the box. So that's our loose theme for season three, but we're back. We're going to be diving in and engaging with some more podcast conversations. David, I'm so glad to be back with you and doing this.
No doubt. I've been missing our times, and I enjoy so much helping to produce these podcasts. And yet I feel at the same time, one of the positive things about what we have done in taking a break is allowing the material that ICN has been going through to kind of breathe and have an opportunity to maturate, to metabolize into our story. Because ICN is an unfolding story. There is no destination. It's a verb. ICN is more than a noun. And so I'm curious, since you've written, I think, the longest series of all the ICN writings, this has been a pretty prolific and important documentation, vision, putting forth a set of values. There's a lot that we could digest and talk about on this particular podcast, but where would you like to start in terms of this particular conversation?
Yeah, so to kind of start and kick this off and engaging in particular with this writing series on community that I've done, I really want that to be the springboard into the larger conversations and context around this movement from I to we, in this sense of pervasive individualism that's in our culture, that's in our spirituality, that's in religion, and especially more and more as our settings of collective spiritual experience, like church, continue to wane and decline, and it being more and more difficult to find spaces of spiritual community, especially in the traditional settings of where we found them in the past. And so it might be a given to some, but I want to maybe start with the question of why community? Like, why is community important? Why does it matter that we need to have these spaces of belonging and connection? And really just maybe share kind of our background stories of our experiences of spiritual community, and then how that has led into to where we're at now in ICN with how we're trying to gather community, and again, why that's important. So I think a good start with any kind of why question is his story and sharing a bit of our backgrounds of what it is that that has made this something that's important to me and to you. So David, I'm going to ask you to start. If you could share a little bit about your, I'm going to have you go first. What's your background with spiritual community? How's that unfolded? I mean, you know, not the, the 2-hour version, but yes, we can, you can share whatever comes, you know, this is a rich story. This is a, I like the framing of this, right? Cause a lot of times when we share our stories, it again is that personal story, right? It's that kind of individual process of what's unfolded throughout our life. But when we put that lens of community on it, and particularly spiritual community, that can illuminate and bring forth and tease out some particular aspects of who we are, because we're not just individuals, right? We exist in a collective, we exist in inner being. So, what's alive for you right now when thinking about your life and your journey with spiritual community?
I was pretty much born a pastor's kid and was raised in what I would call a mostly kind fundamentalist church. And throughout the years, I had a on-off relationship with it. And when I moved down to Pasadena in 94, I got involved in a very wonderful, multicultural, multigenerational community. I don't want to get too into the integral framework language, but it was a very open-minded fundamentalist church, charismatic Pentecostal church. And I mean, we had people of all backgrounds in this community, and I absolutely loved it. We played rock and roll. We did art, dance, all kinds of music, concerts. We were very much a missional community. And I ended up pastoring at that church for 27 years up until January of this year. So I have watched, participated, and tried to pastor that church through some changes, for better or worse for some people, but helped to kind of bring the bring some folks who were willing to come through various stages of faith up into greater and greater stages of faith. What I noticed is that over the years, and I've been 20 years in the contemplative, you know, kind of integral framework, is that as much as my hard work was going into that community, I was still needing some kind of community that I could connect myself to, where I could be more fully safe, more fully myself, and more fully able to connect with people once all the orthodoxy conversations was no longer the predominant means of conversation. So when I found Paul's work, I found what was becoming a home. I mean, when I was in deconstruction, I would read anything but Christian books and anything but, you know, being at home in my own tradition of origin. But Paul's work provided a tether for me to go out and then come back in. And believe me, it was painful to pastor a church and go through the deconstructive process at the same time. And I don't want to listen to any of my messages during that time. Oh my God, they were awful. Just so angry and just chip on my shoulder with, it doesn't have to be this way, you know? And there's some good energy to that. There was some necessary challenging going on, but I wish I had pastored being post-integral. That's a conversation for another time. So when I found that you and Paul, and I'm not just trying to butter our bread here, but this is a genuine and a authentic part of my story. When I found the work that you and Paul were doing a few years ago, that you were really trying to spearhead a way for those that are either edging into or are in the mystical tradition, it was a done deal for me. And it was one of those things where it's like, I can't look back. I can't go back. And I know that I'm kind of bobbing and weaving these stories in and out from each other, but they are kind of linked in certain ways. Mm-hmm. Moving out here from California, from Southern California to Middle Earth, what we're calling Middle Earth here in
Nebraska, right?
Which is in Nebraska. Nebraska. Yeah. Two California kids growing up never thought that we move here, and we have been absolutely loving it. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. We have been absolutely loving our time here. The hospitality, the kindness, the open-mindedness. I have been, since I'm working with the progressive branch of the Lutheran Church, I've been astounded running into people who are, I think, becoming more and more hungry for the ICN way of being in the world. I'm giving more of an externalized way of telling my story, and not necessarily all of the internal means by which I got here, but. Yeah, coming into the ICN way, what I'm calling the ICN way of being in the world, which is not a limited point of thing. It's a blossoming. It's an opening way of participating with the world, where we don't have to look down on what's come before. We can thank it. We can have it be a part of our story, but not be obsessed with its negatives or its positives. We can hold it as it is, and now be where we are, and continue to expand and enjoy the fields in which we inhabit, with all their challenges and with their possibilities and rewards. I think maybe just to give a slight internal aspect to the story, and then I'll pass it off to you, Luke, is we are born into community. We're born into family. I often posed in certain communities, how does 1 and 1 equal 5? You know, well, a family. You know, the child that's born, or the children that are born, don't displace the former integers, right? They multiply. And so 1 plus 1 can equal 5 or 7 or however many children. And in that sense, we are born into community. And so spiritual community has such a make it or break it aspect to it. And when I found Paul's writing and found Paul's work, having I loved Ken Wilber and the whole integral community's efforts and work in the world, there was some inkling of love and desire to say, can this be for Christians too, and not just for Buddhists or Eastern practitioners? And I'm not saying that as a critique. When I found Paul and his writings and work, I thought, here's a home that I didn't know I was looking for. And I'm going to say, not just in terms of concepts or practices, but in terms of what became a friendship. When I reached out to him, I don't remember what it was, 12 years ago, something was formed there. It was with Paul, but it was also larger than Paul. And then coming, you know, yearning for a kind of community where pre-Constantinian Christianity, or should I say trans-Constantinian Christianity, can now be not only a conversation, but a way of living, a way of practice, is that this community became a place of bonding, not over beliefs, but over belonging and becoming. And I think that's what was so beautiful and transformative, beyond just doing practices, was having the place where, you know, that healthy bonding could take place.
Yeah, that's beautiful, David. And I hear so much in that. I won't lean in too much, because I know I was like, oh, we could just like spend the whole time on that, and have your own everyday mystics communal experience. But, you know, yeah, just like the sense of your experience of community as a pastor, and in that position of leading a community, I think that's a really particular dynamic that has effects to it, and all sorts of, I'm sure we have a lot of pastors listening, or people who have a role that dictates to a large degree how they can be in community, right? And that longing and need for some kind of deeper, safer expression of community as well. That's a really fascinating thing and important thing that I know a number of people experience in our community. And so maybe we'll tease that out more at a at another point. But just also too with that, the nature of community to change and the dynamic of that over time and how you, I know how you led your community, your church in that way is really admirable, really wonderful. Cause it, you know, that's different than the, you know, community, a lot of traditional church expressions, right, exist to stay the same, right? They want to be in who they are and what they are, you know, and have that kind of static nature is so common. Yeah, but yeah, changing and working through that as communities evolve has its toll and has its effect. And I know you're just coming out of that after, what was it? Did you say
97? Well, 94, I went to that church.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it'll be 2024 next year. So almost 30.
Wow.
In terms of involvement.
Yeah. So that's, I'm sure there's still so much it's unfolding from that and learning, but another thing that you said struck me, as well that relates, and I'll get into my story next, but just that, you know, finding a home and how I can relate in my own story to where I think I looked for that home through ideas, right? Like a home of ideas and concepts and like, oh, you know, a lot of these things don't resonate. They're not the fit for me, right? My understanding and concepts are evolving and my, the way I think about God, the way I think about life, you know, that can be one form of, yeah, disconnecting from what fits, right? And needing a new home of ideas. But then I also know through that as well, we need the enfleshment of those ideas into actual relational engagement and connection and intimacy and, you know, and bringing together people around that and not just sort of the shoulder to shoulder community that I think we often experience in a lot of settings, right? Where it's like, we're looking the same way, we're facing the same way, we're sitting in the pew next to each other, right? But really turning heart to heart and moving into that experience. So that's a huge thing of how we do that. And my own story also relates to what you talked about as family, as community, right? That's our first community. And for a lot of people, that's very complex and complicated, right? Family, maybe the fractured nature of our families. I think to a large degree, I know in me that created a desire for community, right? Like, my father left when I was very young, and it was just a few years after that that I had my first mystical experience, this profound realization and anchoring in the love of God that can never be separated from me. So I knew this relational, communal nature of God that was always there with me, right? That was always intimate and present, even when my family had fractured and the love from my father had been removed, right? So it was like this early experience of the heart and anchor of my spiritual life was in some way about community, right? It was about this sense of presence and how we experience that in love. And so, you know, I think while I had that in sort of this personal nature of God, the person of Jesus as a living presence, there was, of course, still a further longing for enfleshment, right? For a community of people sharing in that and like kind of the, I guess, the family taken to the spiritual context. And, you know, there's a shadow side to that. I have some kind of cringe aspect with like, if we overdo the, like, your church is your home and, you know, this is your family. Like there's a church, here, you drive by and they have this window and this big thing on there that says, "Welcome home." And every time I drive by it, I'm kind of like, oh, that's not like, you know, I don't know. Right. There's something there. There's some cringe. There's some like, that's too fast. Right. Or too, this isn't, the community is something we have to practice and something we have to, really like deepen into and experience. And like, there is like a finding of a home, right? Like a honeymoon, an aspect of like, oh yes, this is where I belong. This is fits. This is like congruent with my ideas and what I think and who I am. And yet there are so many layers to that and deepening aspects of how we actually really truly embody that home. And I guess I probably some of that comes out of my background and story. So like, yeah, I sought community growing up in a number of ways. Like after high school, I went to this 1 year Bible college in Canada, and it was like a 1 year program, like 90 students, this like, and they emphasized like discipleship, learning and community. Right. So that was like my first experience of community. It was like, okay, everyone is, it's a 1 year program. So everyone's there for 1 year. You're all living in this dorm. This like building is actually a converted youth penitentiary. So like, you know, there were literally like magnetic locks. Like if you miss curfew, like you're out. But like, yeah, the sense of community that cultivated was really profound and transforming. And through college and what, I just kept searching and experimenting and trying to find ways of creating spiritual community, because I wasn't finding that in church. I wasn't, you know, I had some of that in my youth group, I'd say, I guess, but like in the traditional church, it was more of that shoulder to shoulder thing. Like we're here, we're going to listen to the sermon together, do some music. Like we'll have some, you know, after potlucks, or, you know, there is community there too. But I think I was really longing for the deeper mystical community, right? And like, I want to share in the relational space at the depths of spiritual experience and like bring that out into the open we space, which I didn't have language for at the time, right? That sort of thing could be shared and could be experienced collectively. And that was how spiritual community on a deeper level really could be. And it needs that safety that you're talking about, right? It needs that resonance. It needs so many things, which we'll talk about probably more and more in the series, right? Of how to actually like structure that and provide that and open up and gather places of safety and trust and all the things along with that. But similar to you, like that's what I experienced with Paul. Like when Paul and I first met, we sat down and just had this instant like mystical relational connection. Like the heart energy that was flowing between us was like nothing I'd experienced ever before. And it was that relational, like one-to-one, like, yes, we had the resonance of thought and ideas. And I was like, oh, I feel like I could have written your book. And, you know, as I shared my story with him and we talked, it opened up into that living, alive, relational soulmate connection on a spiritual level. And so, similar to, as you said it wasn't just with Paul, it was also larger, right? There was like, from the start, there was this sense of like, there is something here that is between us, but it's not just between us, right? It is a larger magnetic pull or gravitational enfoldment of those who are longing for spiritual expression in this way, and to do that together. And I remember Paul telling me, like, you know, all these people who had emailed him throughout the years, right, of like, I read your book and there's something to this, and like, you know, where can I find this, or where is it, you know? And he always had to tell them, well, you know, sorry, I don't know, you know. And so it was like, oh, there's something here, right, to gather around, to bring together. And the spiritual heart of that, that mystical relationality is really at the center of ICN. And so this way that we practice community, that we come into community, is crucial to our spiritual unfolding. As I mentioned before, right, I also experienced so much spiritual individualism and like solo private practice and, you know, just these ways that we engage in the spiritual life that are informed by culture and our natural proclivities. I guess I should also say in my story, I had a season of 5 years where I lived in intentional community, right, living with 10 other people. And one of the main takeaways from that was like, we are not culturally set up to live in community. Like we have grown up into like, we you know, our comforts, our space, our, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's a whole other theme I could talk about a lot longer too, but, right. Spiritually in the same sense, right. We actually need to cultivate a deeper capacity for community than we've been given, that we've grown up in Western, especially white culture. You know, so there's so many dynamics here to practicing community and the why of that. I think the why of that longing, at least for myself, and I think for a number of others as well, is because we belong to more than ourselves. We are not solo individuals. We are not, one person that is unique and separated. We are unique, but we're not separated from one another. We're not separated from the earth. We're not separated from God. This communal nature of things is embedded right in the heart of Christianity, of mystical Christianity, of the expression of the Trinity, and the perichoresis, the divine dance of the relational interaction between the I, we, and the all, between father, mother, son, and spirit, back to family, right? There's so many aspects that community comes forth and ways that it is in our lives. But I think spiritually, yeah, there's some work that we need to do around that. We actually have to practice community. It doesn't always come natural to us, even though it's intrinsic to our nature and our longing for that depth is within us. It doesn't always come easily. So that's what this series is about, in practicing community, of like looking at some of the shadows, some of the barriers of things that get in the way, how we deepen into that intimacy, into that communal body, cultivating that capacity, and then also looking at some of the structures and external ways that we come together in community and the values underneath that, and so much more. So we're going to explore a lot of that this season on those podcasts. Like I said, we'll also be having some interviews and conversations with Paul. And that's my story. I guess, David, I'll give you a chance if you want to respond or reflect on anything.
Oh, you better believe it. Here. So I love your phrase, gravitational enfoldment. I mean, it's such a fascinating way of framing the way in which we are pulled into something that's larger than us while still retaining who we are. And I mean, you have said so many wonderful things. If we had the time on this podcast, we'd shoot off into several directions. I one thing that was coming up for me is I was moved very deeply by your first mystical experience that you shared. I was starting to tear up just hearing how, when you experienced brokenness, there was a sense of unitive awareness. You probably wouldn't have used that language at that time, but you knew at some sensate level you were being held and loved and cared for, that nothing could separate you from the love of God. And I think, as we have loosely and quickly described our various forms of spiritual community, is that's what keeps us moving forward, farther up, further in, or however you want to frame it, large, like becoming larger than our egos or larger than our own private personal stories, is that gravitational enfoldment, that willingness to I'll say it in this way: the I, the we, and the all. There are a myriad of ways to experience that spectrum of all of those. But what I have discovered is the more distinctions, I'm going to make that plural, the more distinctions that I bring to my awareness and identity, the more capable of unity I am. And the I has to start here. In the we, it has to enter into its truth and its enfleshment and emboldenment there. And then the all, knowing that there is no separation. Some people call it non-separation. That's fine. We might call it unity in this particular context, but unity can come across like pizza dough, it's just one blob of union. And that's not what the universe is an expression of. Is it expanding? Mm-hmm. Is it incredible? Is it diverse and, if scary and majestic and amazing and beyond our rational brain's capacity to hold it all? Absolutely. But the more we bring ourselves into unity, harmony, distinctiveness, distinctions, the more capable we are of bringing. And so I guess I kind of bring that up because, and I'd love to hear some of your thoughts on this as we're wrapping up. I think one thing that we always have to be careful for, as you mentioned, the idealism, because man, do I relate to that so much. I feel like I am a failed idealist so often, and I have to really work on not idealizing something as being more than what it should be. And I'm bringing all of this up to just say, it's important that we let things be as they are, or as it is, or as they are, he, she, they, so that we can enter into a more meaningful communion without wanting them to be what we think they ought to be. In other words, when there is tension, you don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. And I'm not saying this because I feel like this is a correction to something so much as a tangent, that I feel like one of the many wonderful things that you shared is just, wow, we are called to the I and the we and the all, but not in a unformed, uninformed, deformed way. Or if there is uninformed or deformed ways, that we're not bringing a sense of mirrored deformity to it, that we're allowing things to kind of emerge and evolve naturally without having to idealize them to be a specific way. And I think that's what I'm enjoying. Mm-hmm. We took time off from doing these podcasts because we needed time. I mean, I was in the middle of a move from Southern California to here. Not that it's all about me, but there was many things going on with ICN. There were, you know, developing a lot of things in multiple directions. There's a lot of plates spinning, and they're divine human plates, and they're beautiful in their own right. But it's like, so what? This is what evolutionary purpose looks like. I'll end there because I can keep going, but
yeah, what do you thoughts on that? I mean, that's absolutely crucial, because like the messiness of community is essential, right? Enfleshment, actually bringing that into form, is by its nature, the dance and interplay of the uniqueness of the I and the we of the communal draw, right? And so like idealizing community, yeah, can be, you know, yeah, that could be a death knell. So we'll definitely get into that, of like how those things play out, because it you can, in the longing, you can have this sense of, yeah, like, oh, you know, like others in the beautiful beloved community, and right, we're just like blissing out in the communion. And yes, that's true. We can do that. That's part of finding the deeper nature. But for it to be authentic and real, it's going to have the challenges. It's going to have the messiness. It's going to have life, right? And that's that point between the I and the all, right? Like, and this is really crucial, I think, to distinguish as well, because I also share a background in contemplative spirituality, and like through that found a pathway to an evolving further forms and expressions and ways of living out my spirituality. But the individualism in that can also be pretty pervasive. And one of the ways that it even does that is going from the I to the all without the we, like in substantive and fleshed form, right? Like we might be sitting together in a room, like meditating and practicing, but we're all in our siloed individual silent spaces, right? In the interiors of our experience, connecting to the unity of God, right? to the emptiness, or the, you know, whatever form of practice, right, that might be expressed as. And that, I'm not saying that's not real or sincere or like, of course, right? Yeah, we can do that. But the crucial aspect of bringing that forth in form has to happen in we, right? In the community, in the way that moves into the collective space, right? And so there is that sort of like, community is not unity, right? Like unity is great. I'm all for that's a wonderful spiritual aim and goal. And in and of itself, I don't think unity is real without communion, without community, without unity together, right? Unless we're maybe like a hermit living in the desert by ourselves. But even then, we're communing with the earth and the rocks and the right. So like we're never truly alone. Yes. And so yeah, unity has to have community. It has to have communion. So yeah, that can't be idealized. That can't be dematerialized into the transcendent, non-incarnational. Well, it can be, but I don't think it's authentic if we're missing that. So, yeah, you're definitely touching on a passionate theme, yes, of mine, an element, yeah, of that, because I've recognized the need for that integration so crucially in myself. I'm a Enneagram 5. I'm an introvert. I'm, you know, like the contemplative kind of I'd say less healthy expressions that can be just sort of forms of spiritual detachment and bypassing, like, oh yeah, I can do that. I know how to do that. Like, I don't need to train in that. that's what I grew up in. That was my compulsion. That's how I found to cope. So it's like, yeah, a big part of my journey, and I'm not trying to just like project and externalize that onto everyone else, but that's been a big part of my journey of, recognizing the importance of that. And that's just such a grace and gift from God. I mean, like, yeah, you referenced that early story. Like, that's just, I feel so blessed by that, where it's like, that's how I had to be met, you know, in that relational space of, I wouldn't have called it union, and there is a unitive aspect to that, but it was communion. It was relational. It was the presence of God through the form of Jesus. Yeah. And later on, it had to be through the form of Danu, right? Or a different expression, right? That can take a lot of different shapes. And that's the beauty of community, is that it's how we relationally presence and be the divine to and with and among one another, in the mystical spiritual sense, right? So we all need different forms, we need different expressions, we need a variety and multiplicity of how we express in the midst of that gravitational enfoldment that's not into the pizza dough of amalgamation of uniformity, right? It is full of complexity and variety and uniqueness, and that's where things get wild and maybe a little messy, but it's also where things get really fun. Yes. and beautiful. So that's the nature and the heart of how we're going to lean into community this season. I'm really excited to have more conversations about it.
Me too. I mean, I'll just end with saying, you know, for my part, unity so often, especially in the patriarchal mind, but not limited to it, is so often mistaken for uniformity. And community is not communiformity. It's not about sameness, right? It's our distinctions is what makes it beautiful. Even if you think of it in terms of a symphony, a symphony is not a C chord played endlessly. You know, it's majestic, it's dissonant, it's creating a mood, it's bringing something beautiful or dark or you know, a whole spectrum of things. It's just, there's so much to run on. And so I look forward to seeing how this conversation, what's that?
Now you're previewing one of the articles. Symphony, right?
Oh, I thought I'd give it a little taste.
types in community, Enneagram. I mean, there's so many great ways that we're going to look at this and explore it. So, I'm excited. This is going to be great.
Me too.
Hope everyone listening is interested as well and will follow along and, lean into this aspect of community and how we can practice it together, right? And that's such a crucial thing too, of like, we're going to talk about it, we're going to explore it. But again, it's like the community, the home of ideas and these concepts, like we got to put them to flesh, right? Put them, come into relational expression, even if that's just with one other person. And that's how, you know, our everyday mystics and the collective transformation, those stories, will hopefully illuminate some of the various ways that we find that, including our We Space groups, right, at ICN, but other forms of new practicing communities and expressions that are happening all over the world today. There's really cool forms and ways that this is happening. So we're going to bring forth some of those as well.
We'll see you online, and we'll see you in the future.